You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Save On Foods and the Overweighty Food Group recently announced its participation in the C-Choice eco-labeling program. It intends to ban unsustainable seafood from its stores. Overweighty is owned by BC billionaire Jimmy Patterson, who also owns a major BC-based fish products company. Jennifer Jacquet says we should be less exclusively focused on what types of fish we're eating and more on the state of the environments in which they live. Jennifer Jacquet is an environmental economist and doctoral candidate at UBC. Her dissertation is titled Fish as Food in an Age of Globalization, and Jennifer joins me this morning. Hello.
Hello there.
So what is the problem with the kind of labeling initiative that Overweighty is bringing in?
Well, of course, it's great to see an initiative like this at the retailer level, and it's much better to have it at that level than with household consumers. But the real issue, I think, is why these types of initiatives aren't coming at even the higher level, and why stores like Safeway and Costco are still selling unsustainable fish in the current climate in the oceans, which is, you know, a severely depleted ecosystem at this point.
I'm sure you don't want to say, you know, just ignore it, but I mean, is this what's going to make the difference?
Well, I think it's all a question of scale at that point. So are they effective locally in a very short term? Perhaps you might see an increase in demand for certain types of fish and a decrease in demand for unsustainable ones. But certainly overall in the marketplace, our analyses don't show that. We're seeing increased demand for unsustainable fish globally. And of course, the oceans are global commons. And so a lot of these solutions need to come at a much higher level than just one supermarket in BC, unfortunately.
So what kind of initiatives should be taken by governments to ensure the health of the oceans?
Some of the major initiatives that we support, for instance, marine protected areas, areas of the ocean that are closed to fishing. Right now, less than 1% of the oceans are closed to fishing around the world. That's compared to 12% on land. So we really are arguing, you know, we should have more like 20 to 40% of the ocean closed to fishing and zoned that way. Canada just, I believe it was 2005 when they first designated their first MPA. So we're very, very slow when it comes to the oceans doing these sorts of things. Also, a high seas trawling ban, a total ban on trawling in the high seas, which is very detrimental to bottom habitat and very non-selective in its fishing practices. It takes everything. That's another area where Canada in particular could improve because it opposed the United Nations moratorium on high seas trawling. So these are some of the big initiatives that we'd like to see supported. And if you can only engage, you know, in one thing, we'd rather see consumers engaging as citizens than just at the supermarket.
So that would be a much more effective way to do something. But what is the state of the oceans?
Well, it's pretty grim. 90% of all big fish are gone in the oceans. This is supported by study after study after study. We've seen the rise of industrial fishing throughout the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. That means that a single trawler can take 60 tons of fish in a single haul. This are massive changes in a very small amount of time. We've seen fishing down the food webs, which means that we've eliminated these big fish, so we're moving towards smaller and smaller fish that we're consuming, not only in terms of size, but also in terms of their place on the food web. So, you know, there's speculation that in 20 years, we'll be eating jellyfish burgers.
If we were to, I'm trying to think of an analogy that we could come up with here that would describe to people what's actually happening in the oceans. If we were to strip away the layer of the ocean and actually see what's happening down there, what kind of land environment would it look like?
Well, a colleague of mine, Jeremy Jackson, describes it as the rise of slime, and I think that's a really succinct way of putting it. What's happened is because of certain types of fishing techniques, namely bottom trawling, we're altering this three-dimensional habitat of coral reefs and beautiful structures into more like a flat plowed field. On top of that, which means that fish can't spawn there, they have a very difficult time hiding from predators. It creates a barren environment. On top of that, we have increased pollution in the oceans, decreases in oxygen, climate change is affecting the oceans, and all of that is leading to an environment that favors microbial activity, so bacteria, jellyfish that don't use sight to hunt, and we see jellyfish fisheries are on the rise because jellyfish are thriving in these oxygen-deprived, overfished environments.
Given that it is so hard for people to relate to the ocean, how can we? What do we need to do? What do we need to change in our way of thinking about it?
I personally believe that we need to. The number one thing that would be most beneficial for marine life is to begin relating to them primarily as wildlife rather than simply as commodities. So right now, I mean, we talk about seafood, will we have enough seafood for the future? And really what we're talking about are wild animals. The last vestiges of wildlife on this planet are in protected areas, you know, roaming the countryside like squirrels and raccoons, but also in the oceans. And this is a really, really inspiring ecosystem, really amazing animals, and I think if we could decommodify them and relate to them as such, it would really improve things.
Is the amount of fish that we're eating actually going up?
The demand for fish is increasing. The amount of fish is also increasing. That's mostly because aquaculture is trying to fill in the gap, fish farming. Unfortunately, that has a negative effect on ocean fish because we actually use ocean fish to feed farm fish. So while global catch has peaked, it peaked back in the 1980s, demand for fish and fish consumption is actually increasing.
And that's presumably because of concern about other kinds of protein, animal protein?
That and, well, I think it tastes good. And not to mention lots of refrigeration techniques. You used to not be able to get fresh fish in the middle of North America, but now you can because of the way things are processed.
Given the state of the ocean, should we actually stop eating fish, period?
I am one of the few people that believe it would be good at least to consider a total boycott on the consumption of fish. And that's simply because right now, again, we're relating to fish primarily as commodities. I think if we could widen that spectrum of voices out there, if one major NGO, non-government organization, would advocate, listen, the problems are bad, we need a radical solution, I think this would actually resound in consumers. Right now, we're saying problems are really bad, do this very small thing and things will improve.
Eat this kind of big fish that's almost gone instead of this kind of big fish that's almost gone.
Exactly. I think that causes a real sort of cognitive dissonance in consumers. They understand that that is nonsensical. And so we're looking to really get consumers to begin relating to the fact that these problems are huge, the solutions also have to be huge, in the same way that climate change is up against that kind of wall.
And I guess in a sense it's easier to stop doing something completely, as you say, than to make these kinds of choices like Overweighty is presenting us with.
I have that sense. I don't get the feeling, for instance, when I said I don't eat seafood personally, and I've been criticized in the sustainable seafood world for that. A lot of people say you're not welcome at the table unless you're consuming the fish. But I find that the public at large really relates to that concept because I don't think most people will ever fault you for giving something up. You know, that's never really viewed as a weakness. People see that as a strength, and they understand that big problems come often with big sacrifices.
So on the one hand, we need some kind of campaign to stop eating fish, and then on the other hand, we need to start protecting what we have left.
Exactly. And I think those two things really complement one another because it comes from the top down that we need these big sort of federal international efforts to protect more of the ocean. And then we also need consumers to engage, of course, primarily as citizens, but also in their everyday lives and quickly.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for talking to me this morning, Jennifer.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Jennifer Jacquet. She's an environmental economist and doctoral candidate at UBC, and her dissertation is titled Fish as Food in an Age of Globalization.